Third Sunday, Year B in Lent. Reading, first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. Second reading, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Gospel according to John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. The first reading. In those days, God delivered all the commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that plague of slavery. You shall not have other God beside me. You shall not carve idol for yourself, in the shape of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the water beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a zealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of God, your God, in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then either by you or your son or daughter, or your male or female slave, or your beast, or by the alien who live with you. In 6 days the Lord make heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and make it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female slave, nor his ox or ass, nor anything else that belongs to him. The second reading. Brothers and sisters, zeal demands sight and great look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Jew and Greek alike, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews were near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers, and overturned their table. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take thee out of here, and stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the word of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jew answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple had been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said it, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the sign he was doing, but Jesus would not trust himself to them, because he knew them all, and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. How to purify and to adorn our temple. There aren't many of us who want to live in dirty places. We feel annoying when we must live with filthy people because we are afraid of sickness and diseases. To avoid dirty, we must spend time to bathe, to clean up, and to put things in order. Similarly, with our spiritual life, we can't store up sin in our soul because they so-called heavy damage it and lead us to spiritual death. We know that God can live in a filthy soul, because He is the Most Holy One. In order to receive and to keep God in earth, we must frequently examine our conscience to recognize our sin and to confess them so that we can receive God's forgiveness. Lent is the opportunity for us to expel all bad habits and to purify our mind. Many call Lent is the spring of our soul. How can we recognize our sins in order to expel them? Today's reading provides a way to recognize our sin. In the first reading, the book of Exodus, so what the way to examine our conscience by referring to the Ten Commandments. In which the first three of them pay attention to our relationship with God, and the next seven to our relationship with people. In the second reading, St. Paul chose the crucified Christ above the true gods, the wisdom of the great, and the power of the Jew. In the Gospel, when Christ saw that people make his father's house a filthy place, he was angry and chased all merchants out of the temple, saying, "Take thee out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." Analysis, the first reading. The Ten Commandments help people to have good relationship with God and others. Third point, three commandments which help people to have a good relationship with God. First, must love God with our whole heart and above all things. To the faithful, there is only one God. All other gods were created by human beings, such as the lucky, the sun, the Venus, the mammon, etc. In today's passage, the Lord God gives serious warning to those who want to worship both God and the other. "You shall not have other gods beside me. You shall not carve idols for yourself in the shape of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the water beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a zealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandment. Second, don't call God's name in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished him who take his name in vain. God's name is the most holy name. We must avoid to unworthy call out his name. Third, must keep holy the Sabbath. The Israelites keep holy all Saturday and call them the Sabbath. They completely avoid working on the Sabbath because God rests on that day. The Catholics keep holy all the Sunday because it is Jesus' resurrected day. The church dispenses for those who are poor and aren't possible to take that day off. But it doesn't mean all can work on that day. People need to be rested and to use time for their relationship with God. When people are financially stable, they need to invest time for their intellectual, psychological, and spiritual dimension and let others to have opportunity for their living. The God of Mammon easily take advantage of this day. Second point. Seven commandments will help people to have a good relationship with others. These commandments are also necessary, however. When they are conflict, people must first keep the above three commandments. Honor one parent. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not bear false witness. You must not desire other's spouse. And the last, you must not covet anything which belongs to other. Second reading. The crucified Christ is God's power and wisdom. Third point. The worldly wisdom. Every nation had a strong character that makes them proud of. For example, the Chinese is proud of their skill of imitation. There is no product that they cannot counterfeit. St. Paul also highlighted two nations, Greek and Hebrew, who are proud of their tradition. First, the Jews demand wondrous signs. They challenge Jesus to let them see his power by working miracles so they could believe in him. In today's gospel, they also challenge Jesus. What sign can you show us for doing this? Second, the Greeks search for wisdom. They have a well-known tradition of philosophers, which means those who love wisdom. Plato, Aristotle, Demosthenes are some famous names of their tradition. They desire to know the truth and the origin of all things. They also have the skill to persuade people to believe in them. Third, St. Paul proudly declared, "But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." The cross is a stumbling block for the Jew because only robbers or murderers are crucified. Their powerful Messiah can have such a sinful death. the cross is absurd for the Christ, because they think a powerful God can be suffered. If God must suffer, he is no longer powerful. Second point, God's wisdom and power. Saint Paul continued, but to those who are called, zeal and grace alike, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Third, God's wisdom. Wisdom is not only about learning deep knowledge or hidden things which have no profit for human being, but the true wisdom is to learn about God's will for human being and how to achieve the ultimate goal of human life. To cry, people know what is God's will for them and the way to reach their ultimate goal. Saint Thomas Aquinas, a famous theologian of the Dominican Order, declared, "I have learned from the foot of the cross more than anywhere else." Second, God's power. Power can only be measured by force or strength, but how to move a human will? For example, many elves must yield before the power of women's tears. Right cross had power to soften many stony hearts and to bring them back to God. To the cross, right had conquered the devil's power and the dead and bring salvation to all people. The Gospel. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. Third point, Christ's eagerness for his father's house. There were two main reasons why Jesus chased all merchants out of the temple. First, the temple is the house of prayer. People come to the temple in order to pray and to have an intimate relationship with God. It isn't a place to sell merchandise or to exchange currency. Jesus said to them, "Take thee out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." Second, people misuse the law to earn financial gains. This was a system for people to make money. We were based on the law of offering. In the Old Testament, people must offer sacrifices to the blood of animals so that their sin might be forgiven. When people came to the temple to offer their sacrifices, they must offer clean and unblemished animals. To guarantee this, animal must be inspected by the temple inspectors. If a person secure an animal from his town and must travel several days to the temple, when his animal were inspected, it didn't meet the standard. He couldn't walk back to his home to find another. He must buy one from the inspector or their relative with an expensive price. Moreover, to set up a booth inside the temple area, people must pay a high rent or know the high priest's price or priest. Second point, how to purify and to adorn our individual temple. In Jesus' dialogue with the Israelite leader, he emphasized that the temple was his body. If Jerusalem temple couldn't be both the house of prayer and the marketplace, little our individual temple is the place for both God and the devil. Saint Paul emphasized this point. Do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? See 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another. See Romans chapter 12, verse 5. To purify our mind, the first thing we must do is to worship only the one God. We can't worship true God or be a servant of true masters. The first reading clearly declares, "For I, the Lord your God, am a zealous God. He shall not live together with any other God." Saint Teresa the infant Jesus said, "God accepts all that we offer to him, but he shall not give all what he has to us until he see that we are offering to him all what we have." Saint John of the Cross said, "Don't pay attention to any ritual if you want to keep a clear and simple image of God in your soul. But if you discard all that related to them and run far away from them, you shall walk in God's light." There are so many rituals which we are slaving for them. We need to encouragingly expel them so that we have time for God and pay back to him the highest place in our mind. If we decide to purify our mind, we know that the more we purify our mind, the easier is the progress of purification. In our spiritual life, there is a chain collection. The more we enter into the relationship with God, the more we decide to become pure so that we can live an intimate relationship with him. Application in life. We must love and worship God above all things. We should learn from the crucified Christ more than any plague in this world, because he is God's power and wisdom. We should frequently purify our soul so that we can sweep away all impurity and become the holy temple for God to dwell. The sixth beatitude clearly declare, "Blessed are the pure, because they shall see God." Saint Thomas Aquinas confirmed the pure mind can contemplate God even in this life. We must determine that we shall never serve two masters, but only the one God. Amen.